Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard all about the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask, "Are you the Messiah we're expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Are you really this Jesus that the prophets of old talked about? Are you really this Messiah, this conquering king? Or should we look for another?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, defeating disappointment. Defeating disappointment. Y'all, it happened in when I was in the fourth grade that yours truly was destined to be famous. That when I was in the fourth grade that we had a fourth grade music concert and yours truly was invited to be the guest xylophonist. I think they really call them glockenspiels. You know those little bitty things with the little mallet that you play. But y'all, I had a solo that night. And so I was excited. I was nervous at the same time. But I knew that I was destined for fame. That the people would hear me play and they would applaud me. And they would come to tears as I played that xylophone solo. And so I sat in the living room of the house waiting for my father to show up. Y'all, I had my crisp white shirt on. I had my black pants and my Buster Brown shoe. I was slaying, y'all. I was dressed to the night. I was ready. I was ready for my xylophone solo. I got a little nervous. I started panicking back and forth. I'm looking through the window for Dad to show up so we could get in the car. We could go to the elementary school so I could play my solo. Clock kept on ticking. It's near time for us to be there. I'm thinking people are gathering in the auditorium because they're waiting for this sensation. Kevin Love, the xylophone, they're just waiting. They're anticipating, y'all. And the clock kept on ticking. Finally, the time came for us to be there. And my father did not show up. I waited until 30 minutes past the time that the concert was going on. An hour passed. 2 hours passed, 3 hours passed, and I still sat there in my crisp white shirt and my black pants and my Buster Brown shoes, and in that moment, tears began to stream down my eyes. I remember my mother putting her hand on my back and saying, "Baby, you know, Dad's not going to make it. Why don't you go ahead and take your outfit off and call it a night?" And I ran to my room, and I fell on the bed, and I began to cry. Dad came in later and he apologized and all of that. But it's funny the things we remember. That this is one of the first big disappointing times that I remember in my life. First major disappointment that I can remember. Disappointment. It really comes from a French word which means disappointer. It's when an appointment has been undone, that it is no more. Anything that crushes your hopes, that upsets your world, that ruins your day, that disappointment is the failure of expectations to manifest itself. And I don't have to tell you today about disappointment. You know about disappointment. But there's still this fourth grader, this 8 or 9 year old boy on the inside that still remembers the day when his daddy disappointed him. He did not show up. An appointment to be successful, to walk in fame as a xylophonist. that my appointment was ruined because Daddy didn't show up. How many appointments do we have that don't come to fruition? How many dreams and hopes do we have that are miscarried and they're dropped and they don't come to fruition, that they don't give birth, that they don't give life? Like I said before, I don't have to tell you all anything about disappointment. All of us in this room have experienced disappointments in our lives. We become disappointed because plans don't come to fruition. That some of us have loved ones that disappoint us, that they let us down. And if the truth be told, there are times in our lives when we disappoint ourselves because of our own failures, our own attitude, our own ways of being, that we disappoint ourselves. And certainly there are circumstances that can befall us in life that can leave us hurt and wounded and disappointed. And although we may not want to say it sometimes, y'all, don't tell anybody this, sometimes we can feel like we're disappointed with God. But here's what I know. It's important that we defeat disappointment and not allow it to defeat us. Because it brings frustration, it brings pain, and it brings anger, and it leads us to doubt. And if we're not careful, our doubts can rob us of our faith in God and what God is able to do in our lives. And ultimately, it leads to defeat. And so Jesus finishes his round of instruction to his 12 disciples that he's called. And he's instructing them regarding what it means to follow him. I need to let somebody know today that following Jesus is not for the faint in heart. Now, some people can try to straddle two worlds. We try to follow Jesus and we try to do things our way. That's not truly following Jesus. Following Jesus, you read Matthew chapter 10 and look at the words that Jesus is talking about, what it means, what it costs to follow him. He says, now listen, Matthew 10, 17, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or your daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. That Jesus said, listen, I'm sending you out into the world as sheep amongst wolves. That it cost us something to truly be sold out and to really follow Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Are you really sold out to Jesus? Are you truly following him? Have you truly forsaken everything else and everyone else for the cause of following Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And so, John, who's a jailbird, heard about the works of this free Jesus, that he's going about doing Jesus stuff, that he's performing miracles, that he's speaking with authority. But this is John the Baptist, y'all. God's called appointed messenger to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. This is John the Baptist, y'all. This wild-looking man with long hair. He had a strange diet of locusts and wild honey that he wore strange clothes. This is John the Baptist. That he had no power or position. But amongst men, he preached like no other man. That when John the Baptist spoke, people listened. And what did he say? What did he speak? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And many listened. And many came to repent at the words of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a fearless confronter. That he was the kind of guy that would stand up before kings and authorities and speak the truth of God's word. Oh, how we need those kind of people today that would stand in the face of authorities and still say, what thus saith the Lord. This is that John the Baptist. That he refused to compromise truth. And y'all, it's truth that landed him in jail. It's what landed him in prison. That Herod was the ruler at the time, the ruler of Galilee under the Roman Empire. And his wife, Herodias, really shouldn't have been his wife, because she was his brother Philip's wife. And so Herod decides that he loved old girl, and so he took her to himself. And so what does John do? John fronts him out. He said, man, you know this is not lawful for you to do. Herodias didn't like it either. And so she was determined to get this country preacher. Y'all know the story of John the Baptist. Eventually, John the Baptist was beheaded because he spoke truth. But you know, I found out something. You might be able to shut the mouth of the messenger who shares truth, but you cannot stop the truth. Jesus said, my word is truth. And not one tittle, not one jot of my word shall ever pass away. The flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of God will stand forever. That you may be able to shut me up, but the word of God will continue. That the word of God is eternal. The word of God is powerful. Stop the messenger if you want to, but you will never stop the message. So in our text for today, so John is in jail and he's soon to be beheaded. While his distant cousin Jesus, again, the Messiah, the anointed one, this conquering king, that he goes to John to be baptized in the chilly Jordan River. And the Bible says that when John baptized Jesus, that the heavens opened up. And the Spirit of God swooped down like a dove and landed on him. And the loud, trembling voice of God spoke out and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This Jesus who preached and taught like no other, that he cast out demons, that he healed all manner of diseases. And now he has a message from John the Baptist who's in jail. Are you the Messiah? Are you really that one? Or should we be looking for someone else? Can you imagine the conflict that's in John's head? That here he is in jail and Jesus is free. That he's the Messiah, the conquering king. If he's the conquering king, well, why am I in jail? If he's got all authority and power, why would I be on lockdown? John was the convict. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus the deliverer. John was on death row. I think someone might believe and think this, that, yeah, he had a right to have doubts. Perhaps a right to be disappointed. I think that's possible. I think sometimes, y'all, we look at Scripture and we look at the characters of Scripture and sometimes we can make them out to be superhuman beings. But they're human beings just like you and I, that they have emotions and feelings. Can you imagine being placed in prison and you've done actually nothing wrong? All you've done is spoken the truth. I believe you would have doubts. I believe you and I, we would be disappointed. The claims of who Jesus is and who the Bible says he is ever been diametrically opposed to your circumstances? That he's the deliverer, that he has all power. But you look at your circumstance and have you asked yourself, but God, where is your power in my situation and what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through? So how can John's story lift us up and help us in moments of uncertainty? In moments of doubt, in moments of disappointment, when the appointments of our loved ones that we thought would happen in the future, that they are no more, and we stand disappointed, what do we do? How can John's story help us today? Well, here's the first thing, real quick. Don't allow disappointment to put you in a prison of self-imposed isolation. As we look at verses 1 and 2, they let us know that John the Baptist was in prison. He heard about the Messiah and what he was doing. He heard about his works, But again, John was in prison. But perhaps he felt alone. I know the Bible says that his disciples came to him to send word back to Jesus, but John was on lockdown, not his disciples. So perhaps he felt alone, and perhaps he felt as if he was in isolation. Roman jail cell, certainly. But his isolation was not of his own doing. That it happened under the reign of Herod, that he threw him in jail. That he's living in isolation in prison. It was imposed by Herod. But how many of us today, when we deal with circumstances that we don't understand or out of our control, that we find ourselves in self-imposed prisons? How many of us that name ourselves, we call ourselves Christians, that when we're going through, we're really going through, do we stop going to church? Or we stop singing on the praise team. We stop talking about Jesus. We stop talking about God. We stop talking about our... How many of us put ourselves in self-imposed isolation? You know, a great tactic of the enemy is for us to isolate. That you're going through, that you're dealing with some issues, that you're having some struggles, that you're having some, and we isolate. We don't want to be bothered by it. Leave me alone. Let me wallow in my self-pity. Let me have my pity party. But do you not know that's exactly where the enemy, the devil, wants you? The Bible says he goes around, 1 Peter, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, some of y'all watch Animal Planet. Some of y'all watch those animal shows. Growing up, A Wild Kingdom, that was my show, y'all. And I remember looking how the lion on there, how they would prowl around and they would seek out the gazelle. And gazelles are really fast, and so they can't just really outrun them. But they look for the weak one in the group. Y'all, they stalk and they look for the one that was weak or the one that was off by itself. That was separated from the group or the pack or whatever you call a bunch of gazelles that are together. And they'd eye that one gazelle and they'd pounce on it. I'm saying that because that's how the devil works. Yeah. That in your weakest moment, when you're worn and tired, that he sees that. And he already knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what your propensities are. And he ceased to pounce on you and to tear you apart. That the devil deceives you to destroy you, to take you out, to eliminate your faith and your faith walk. And so don't let him isolate you. Don't practice self-imposed isolation. Don't put yourself in a prison that you don't need to be in. John the Baptist didn't have a choice, but I do. And you do. And we ought to seek the encouragement of other people at all times when we're dealing with disappointment. That God called us together as a church family to encourage each other, to lift up each other. That's why the Bible talks about in Hebrews 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There's a purpose of us coming together. So don't put yourself in this self-imposed prison of isolation. Second thing, to help us to defeat disappointment. In times of disappointment, let your reservations draw you closer to Jesus. John the Baptist says, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? Then John was confused by his circumstances, but he wasn't confused who to search out or who to look for. He sent his disciples to Jesus. In times of disappointment, let your reservations, let your doubts, let your disappointment draw you closer to Jesus and not away from him. Don't allow false assumptions about Jesus to disappoint you. And they can, y'all. That we have these misconceptions, these false assumptions about Jesus. Because Jesus loves me, because I am a child of God, listen, I know he's going to bring me out of this situation. What if he doesn't? That if I pray hard enough, If I read enough scriptures, if I come to church enough, this issue will not befall me. False. That's not the Jesus of the scriptures. But what we can do is trust him, have confidence in him, even when we don't understand him. Don't allow false assumptions about Jesus to disappoint you. Don't discount moments of doubt in your life either. I kind of found out like disappointment and doubt, they kind of work together. Then when we're disappointed in something or someone, it brings us doubts about a circumstance or even about people. But don't allow, don't discount moments of doubt. Think about John the Baptist. Just think about Thomas, doubting Thomas. We talked about him a few weeks ago. That sometimes I believe this, we need to learn how to doubt our way to a greater faith. Don't get upset. Don't get fearful. Well, I'm just not sure. But sometimes we're just not sure. But allow your doubts to lead you to a greater faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let your reservations, don't let your issues, your thoughts about draw you away from Jesus, but draw you to Jesus. Allow your reservations to draw you to Jesus. That John the Baptist, his focus was on Jesus. Not even the fact that he was in jail, but his focus was on the Messiah, asking, are you that one? This last thing, y'all, then I'm through. That you can defeat disappointment through the confirmation of Jesus' words and his works. That's what we see in verses 4 through 6. Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard. This is words and what you have seen, what he's doing. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor, and tell him God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. John, because you are in jail, because you are on lockdown, you may not understand, but don't turn from me. I am who I say I am. He gives him the confirmation, the validation, the affirmation of who he is. Jesus didn't offer these great detailed, historical, theological, this rational view. Well, you know, tell him that. I am the one that the prophet spoke about long ago. And, you know, he just said, listen, go back to John and tell him what you see and what you hear. You know, when you look at Matthew chapters 1 through 10, you know, it's a great biblical outline of the life of Jesus, his birth and his preaching ministry and his teaching ministry, that we ought to be biblical when it comes to telling people about Jesus. But I declare one of the best testimonies that you can give about Jesus and I can give about Jesus is what he did for me. What have you seen about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? What has he done for you? That we ought to be biblical in our approach. But listen, nothing can beat your personal testimony about what you know about what Jesus did for you. John didn't need information. He needed confirmation, verification, assurance. And the Bible says that his spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what John needed in that moment, to know that God still loved him, that God cared about him. He was in jail. He was on lockdown. He was about to be beheaded. One thing that we need to know, y'all, in moments of pain, in moments of uncertainty, that God is still good and that God still loves us, that God has not abandoned us, that God is with us. Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we look for another? Listen, our faith will be tested, and either we'll falter or we'll stand. But I believe, like John the Baptist, that what we do in those moments makes all the difference in the world. That our focus should be on Jesus. That was John the Baptist. That was his focus. I need you to get a word out to Jesus. And Jesus gives him the confirming word. He tells him basically again, listen, what you see, what you hear about me, that's the truth. And I believe that's all that John needed was this validation and confirmation of who Jesus is. And somebody needs it right now in this moment. Because in this moment, it seems like, listen, what you're dealing with in your life, what you're going through in your life, it's diametrically opposed to what the Bible says about this loving and kind Jesus. But he is Jesus. He is the Jesus of the Bible. He does love you. He does care for you. He is with you. He's still a healer. And so, in your moments of disappointment, in your moments of doubt, don't look for another Messiah, because they will simply disappoint you. Don't look for another Savior in a bottle, because it'll let you down. Don't look for another Savior in another person. They will let you down. That we all deal with disappointments in life. And Jesus wants us to do. Look to him. I love y'all. I love Hebrews chapter 12, where it says this. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, that God has set before us, that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the champion who initiates and he perfects our faith. Because of the joy that was set before him, that, listen, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. This Jesus. The Bible's filled with many people, y'all, many people of great faith. People like John, who endured pain and suffering and heartache and loss. All of the disses, the dismayed. Discouraged, disillusioned, disappointed. But one thing about all of these biblical characters, they kept looking to God. And so that's what I want to leave you with. In your disappointment, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. In your pain and in your loss, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Even when you don't understand, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. When obstacles come your way and it seems like they're blocking you from the plan that you had, the purpose you had for your life, keep on looking to Jesus. When people abandon you and walk out on you and reject you, keep on looking to Jesus. And know this, that we all have an appointment with him. And this appointment for the believer is not a disappointing appointment. That we will all leave here one day. And the Bible says after this, there will be the judgment. We have an appointment to leave here. But I declare, if you are a born again believer, it's an appointment that we're not rushing, but we still look forward to. Because one day we'll reign with him. We'll rest with him. We'll be with him. And that's good news for all of us, y'all. And I don't know, my thought is that maybe in that great day when I stand before him and I see him in his glory, that he'll say, Kevin, go ahead. Give me your xylophone solo. That he won't disappoint you, y'all. That you can trust him when you cannot trace him and when you don't understand. Keep your hands in Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Pray with me now. Father, thank you for your word today. That life can come at us hard. authoritarians come and decide that they want to possess land that does not belong to them. They think it does. And that can be disappointing and hard and break hearts. As we think about Ukraine and the many lives that have been lost. As we look at the world scene and there's chaos and confusion everywhere. As we think about Jeremiah. God, it's circumstances like this that can bring pain and grief and disappointment. But by your Spirit of God, help us not to doubt you. As the elders used to say, to hold on to your unchanging hand, that you promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we dare not isolate ourselves in our pain, that we dare not walk away from you, but we would look at the sum total of our history with you, and it's always been good. You have always been good. God, I pray right now, we pray right now for that person today that may not know you, Jesus, in the pardon of their sins, that today they would come to know you. In this moment, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. There will but feeble human beings, but your word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So by your word and by your Spirit, Father, speak to hearts right now. For those that don't know you in the pardon of their sins, they come to know Jesus. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that we don't look for another. That there is no other Messiah, there is no other Savior, there's only one, and that's Jesus. And that's the Jesus that we trust today. And I trust, oh God, that you're drawing those by your Spirit to you today in this very moment. Those that are in the building, those that are watching online. That all that we do as a church, all that we do as your children, as believe, it boils down to this. That you called us to be your servants. You called us to be your disciples. You called us to tell a dying world about a living Savior, to tell people about Jesus. So help us to be like a John the Baptist, that no matter the cost, we are willing to pay it because you paid the ultimate cost in giving your life. So again, speak to hearts right now. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to your glory, Father. We believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So perhaps there's someone here today and you are not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a complicated process. Sometimes we can make it harder than it seems. It's not a matter of you coming to church and you got it all together, you got it right. That's not what it's about. Matter of fact, listen, I don't care how long you're on this path and this journey, we never totally get it right, that all of us have issues and weaknesses, but it starts with a saving relationship with Jesus, that you confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, that you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says that settles it, that saves you. We walk it out from there. It's a process. It's sanctification. It's walking it out and becoming more mature, but it starts with a relationship with you. Perhaps you're here today and you're in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers, serve with other believers. And so we believe, listen, that Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. And so receiving Jesus for the first time, if you tuned in today to our online ministry, hear me, listen. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is right here, right now, today. Won't you receive him today online or in the house receiving for the first time, already a born-again believer, but want to connect with this fellowship, Living Faith Community Church, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith, won't you come right now? How do you do that? How do you do that? The ushers are standing in the back of the room. Their arms are stretched out. If you're in the building today, if you're here right now and you feel that tug at your heart, why don't you follow them to room number, or follow them to the green room. Follow them to the room just behind me. They'll take you in. They'll gather some information. Our new member ministry will gather some information and we will welcome you with open arms. If you're tuned in today to our online ministry, there is a form that you can fill out. Go to that form online, fill it out, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and will welcome you with open arms. Amen. New member ministry advisor standing right now. We don't rush this moment. Would there be one?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.